T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Grass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. Oh, what happened? Football season never ends. You're right, Mike Florio. It is. The Alex Dono Show in the 9 o'clock hour here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Streaming online at WQAM.com with you till 10 o'clock here tonight. The Institute of South Florida's only... I could hear that. Joe Zagacki, hello? What? Medicine board certified, what is going on? Researchers. Why do I hear commercials playing in my headset? This is driving me crazy. Am I, have I had too many Shirley Temples today? I don't know. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. #560 on your cellular device. Or you can always text us on the plumbers911.com text line. But please don't text and drive. You can reach us there at 56022. We'll hear from Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase in a second. His pretty entertaining media conference today. But first, we'll go to the phone lines. Let's talk to Carmen. You're on WQAM. What's up, Carmen?
Thanks for taking my call, sir.
You got it.
I was watching a little bit of the game last year, the Pro Bowl, the bowl game last year, and a little bit of Bethune game. You know, I think the problem is the defensive line,
Hold on. Can you close that car door? Because I'm too distracted by that. Whatever that is beeping in the background.
That wasn't a seatbelt. I wasn't wearing my seatbelt.
Okay, I got you. Make sure you keep that seatbelt on. Sorry about that. So what were you saying about the bowl game?
I was just watching the lines. You know, I'm a big fan of watching the O-line, the D-line. I think they haven't really played up to par so far. I'm hoping they have a much better game plan. Both guys just stand up straight. They just peek in the backfield and all that. I just think they need to play better and create more plays for themselves. That's what I think. And then, you know, I really, like I said, Bethune-Cookman, you know, one double-A school.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not real much proven. You know, I'm very curious to see what these guys will do when they play in the ACC conference game. So that's the real test there. What do you think?
I'm with you. And the other thing that's weird, I appreciate the call, is that his seatbelt was off, and it sounded like the check engine light came on. You might want to take that vehicle in for regular service. But the other thing about the Bethune-Cookman game was, at least in a normal situation, a normal season, you play that game, you consider, okay, this is the warm-up game. This is the first note in the crescendo as we build towards the Florida States and the Virginia Techs and the Notre Dames. But you play that Bethune-Cookman game, then you have 3 weeks off until your next game. It's almost like that warm-up kind of lost all its value because you're cold again. And I know that these guys have, for the most part, they've stayed in shape. That was one of the things that Mark Richt said he was impressed about. Early this week when they started practicing in Orlando, Richt said that, hey, I was very pleasantly surprised to see that even after 10 days of no practices, that's how much time they missed. Everybody, the conditioning was still good. Everybody was on point, and we were able to more or less pick up where we left off. So these guys weren't just eating Cheetos and Nutella during the hurricane like I was. They were actually keeping themselves in shape. So that was an important thing. But still, after playing that Bethune-Cookman game, having 10 days out of practice and then 3 weeks before your next game, basically, this week in Orlando has been like another fall camp. It's like you've had to start over again. You already peaked a few weeks ago. Then you had the valley. Now you're trying to peak once again. So it's almost like, in my mind, the whole warm-up game kind of lost its value because now you've had like another offseason since you've played. So you have to sort of start over against Toledo, a Toledo team that has played 3 games this year, a team that is very well rehearsed, right? They've been preparing for this moment. They just came back from 21 points down to beat Tulsa, and their quarterback threw for 458 yards. I know that nothing really prepares you for you know, a higher level opponent like Miami, that Tulsa doesn't really get you ready for that. But Toledo, they're clicking on all cylinders right now, relatively speaking. And no, I don't think Miami loses this game. I think it's going to be a Hurricanes victory. I think it's going to be emotional for these guys. They've been wanting to hit somebody for the last 3 weeks. These guys have been itching to put the uniform and put the pads back on. I think you're going to see, you know, the guys may look a little wild early in this game, and they may have to tone it down a little bit. The same way that, going back to that Bethune-Cookman game, Mark Walton played a little bit wild because it was an emotional game for him. You know, had tragically lost his mother since last season. First game that his mother didn't attend. I know there was a lot going through his mind. So he played a little bit wild, was seeking contact, played a little bit emotional. I think you're going to see a lot of players playing a bit emotional this week because they haven't played football in so long. So hopefully they can kind of harness that rage and harness that wildness into more of a controlled athletic effort. But yeah, of course, I think Miami's going to win the game this week. But, you know, Toledo, they're not Bethune-Cookman, let me say that. Right? Like, not like Toledo is not at Florida State's level, but they are well above Bethune-Cookman's level. So it should be a very interesting game. I think Miami's going to score a lot of points, and I think the challenge will be on their defense to keep a high-flying Toledo offense grounded, because that quarterback can sling it. So we're going to see what Dee Delaney is made of this week. We're going to find out. So we got the Dolphin sound, the Adam Gase sound from today. So here is Adam Gase. I thought this was a pretty entertaining media conference today. You know, of course, things opened up. First question you knew would be about Lawrence Timmons, his situation, his whereabouts.
Everything dealing with that, we're just going to keep in-house. We've handled it the way we feel like we needed to handle it. And, you know, really, I don't have anything to add to that.
Will he have a chance to come back to the team?
It's going to be something I'm going to keep in-house, and I'll decide on that later.
So is it fair to say that Timmons will not practice and play this week?
Yeah.
All right, so you're certainly not going to see Lawrence Timmons this week. Not going to practice this week, not going to play this weekend against the Jets. Suspended indefinitely. So that could mean 1 week, could mean up to 4 weeks without pay. But he's definitely not playing this week, Gase confirms. And as far as what's going on in Timmons' life and why he went AWOL, why he left his team and tried to fly back to Pittsburgh, Gase says we're going to keep it in-house. It seems like a lot of Dolphin fans respect that. A lot of Dolphin fans respect the fact that, you know, because you're not talking about a guy being arrested or laws being broken, because then it becomes public information. Like, you're talking about clearly something that is very private, not only to Lawrence Timmons, but private to the Miami Dolphins, and they prefer to keep it that way, and I respect it. I know a lot of curious, nosy fans would like to know what's going on. It doesn't sound like we will ever know what's going on. Here's Adam Gase. We've talked about this player a little bit. Was a high-level collegiate linebacker, was a first-round draft pick just 2 years ago. Stephon Anthony, who's now a Miami Dolphin. Here is Adam Gase on the Stephon Anthony trade.
Yeah, this has been going on for a while. So it just finally happened, and, you know, we're excited that, you know, we had an opportunity to add somebody to our roster that we feel like can help us.
I think that's important because the way that Gase framed that was, we all assumed, and I assumed this yesterday, because the timing, you know, it lended itself to this, that, okay, you announced yesterday at 4 o'clock, roughly 4 o'clock, you announced Lawrence Timmons suspended indefinitely. And then roughly at 5:30, you announce, oh, we've acquired a linebacker, Stephon Anthony, now a Miami Dolphin. We send a fifth-round pick to New Orleans for Stephon Anthony. So it looked like, okay, that's a knee-jerk reaction. You lose, you suspend Lawrence Timmons, we got to go out and get a linebacker immediately. But according to Adam Gase, this has been in the works for some time. That this was in the works before Timmons went AWOL, before we had that situation, that we've been working, this is a player we like, this is a player we targeted, this has been in the works. And that makes sense, because it's not as though the linebacker position suddenly became thin when Lawrence Timmons went AWOL. It was already thin. You had already lost Raekwon McMillan for the year. You already knew that Ray Maualuga wasn't ready to play. Neville Hewitt's been injured. You only had four active linebackers on the roster at Los Angeles last week. You knew the linebacker position was thin. So I can understand that going out and trading for Stephon Anthony, that wasn't an immediate reaction to Lawrence Timmons. That is probably something they've had in the works. And for more on Anthony, here's Gase on how the coaches can utilize Stephon.
Well, you know, just it's hard because I, you know, for me personally, I haven't had a chance to meet him yet. So, I mean, we'll just kind of go through our process and determine where we feel he fits for us and the right way for us to coach him and teach him and, you know, kind of make our own assessment of, you know, how we want to use him. And, you know, it's hard for me to say anything right now when I really don't know because I haven't been around him.
And so keep in mind, Gase spoke to us that was right before practice, and Stephon Anthony did practice today. So at the time Adam Gase spoke to us, he had not really met Anthony or had a conversation with him. I assume that by the time practice was over, knew him a little bit better than he did this morning. Here is Adam Gase. It's funny. This was a great question. I think it was Armando Salguero, I want to say, asked this question because it's very obvious that Gase does not want to specifically speak on Lawrence Timmons or his situation, and I respect that. But a lot can be read into this situation when you understand Gase's philosophy, right? Because he had shared with us on Monday that he has two basic rules: play hard, be on time, right? And we know that Adam Gase hasn't been afraid to bench guys, release guys, punish players, try and send messages to players. So there's clearly a culture that he wants to create. And the question that that Salguero asked him was, if you've got a player who violates that culture, who breaks rules, because obviously Lawrence Timmons did not show up on time and did not play hard last Sunday, so can he be forgiven? That was the question Salguero asked. Can he be forgiven? Can a player be forgiven?
I think every situation is different, and I would say that you can be forgiven. The right steps are taken.
And here is Gase shifting towards the game this coming weekend. You know, the Dolphins are going up against a Jets team that looks pretty terrible so far this year, 0-2. But, you fall into the temptation. Fans do. Coaches don't. But fans fall into the temptation of considering that to be a free win, an easy W. But here is Gase on what worries him about the Jets.
Well, they got some new faces. You know, we're really that's going to be the number one thing we got to kind of sort through of some of the guys that, you know, we haven't really played before. There are still a lot of familiar faces. And, you know, we're going to have to get ready for a veteran quarterback, veteran running back. Defensively, you know, they got pretty young in the back end this year, and they got two guys that can really roam around and run, you know, at the safety positions. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us, especially, you know, with Coach Bowles. Is he stops the run, and, you know, that's one of the things that we really like to hang our hat on, and he does a good job of stopping them, and he did a good job against us last year. And I know statistically it looked good on paper, but, you know, the first game we played against them, that was not easy sledding, and we popped two runs right at the end of the game that kind of made it look like we had a better day than what we did. You know, when we play these guys, it's a physical game. It's a division game. You know, it's one of those games. This is a tough game. This is one of those ones where you throw everything out the window because it's going to be a slugfest.
And let me add this, because you just heard that very long, articulate answer that Gase gave to a football question: what worries you about the Jets? Does it sound to anybody else like Gase is just so thankful to actually be asked a football question at this point? Like, oh my God, so tired of talking about Timmons, so tired about repeating myself 15 times. And I'm not criticizing reporters. Those questions have to be asked. That's part of the job. You got a player who goes AWOL? Of course you got to talk about it. Even if you can't say anything about it, you still have to talk about it. The media is doing their job there. That's why coaches hate to have distractions like that. But just listen to the juxtaposition. You ask him a question about Lawrence Timmons. Sounds a little bit downtrodden. Well, we're keeping that in-house. It is what it is. We're handling it. You ask him about the Jets. Oh, gives you a minute and a half long answer. He smiles when talking about football. Like, Gase doesn't want to have to be dealing with this nonsense. Players not showing up to games. If he had his way, every question that came in would be, well, coach, Can you break down Matt Forte's yards per carry? Can you give us some insight on his tackle-breaking ability? He would love just to answer football question after football question after football question. I think that's why he hit that Jets question out of the park, man. Here's another football question. Here's Adam Gase, you know, because we'd mentioned that Jay Ajayi is on pace for 448 carries this year. Obviously, that won't happen. But here is Gase on Ajayi's workload.
I was happy that we were balanced. That was good. You know, it was one of those games where easily could have become, you know, started throwing the ball too much, you know, especially towards it, you know, that last 6 minutes. And, you know, our faith in him is obviously very high. The guys were doing a great job of getting guys covered up, and he was really hitting them. You know, we're hopefully as the season goes on, we can kind of, you know, start moving some guys in and out. He's a hard guy to take out of the game. Because every time he touches the ball, it seems like good things happen. But, you know, I am aware that was a lot of carries. He played a lot of snaps, but he was a hard guy to get out of the game because he wasn't really willing to come out of the game. And I think he felt like it was tight, and we needed him in that first game. And, you know, I feel like we have a good plan going forward, and, you know, we just got to – we'll just keep an eye on him. You know, we'll have some days where, you know, we rest him and just make sure that, you know, he's getting back to full strength for the next week.
And today was one of those days that they rested him. Again, this was Gase speaking before practice. And it turned out today, lo and behold, was essentially a rest day, a maintenance day for Jay Ajayi after the ton of carries, the 28 carries he got last week. And yeah, I can understand it. When you've got a guy as competitive as Ajayi who never wants to come out of the game, when he's running as well as he was last week, was in rhythm for the entire football game, it's hard to take that guy off. I think at some point you have to. And when he does lose a rhythm, you would like to see more of a workload for Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake. I mean, Ajayi was playing so well last week, God bless him, that he ended up with one carry for Kenyon Drake, zero carries for Damian Williams. I think you're going to see, it's never going to be an even split, obviously. Ajayi is going to be the workhorse, but I think you will see a handful of carries in the near future for Damian Williams, and then a few for Kenyon Drake as well. It's going to be more balanced than it was this past week. Here is Gase, you know, really kind of going back to evaluating the Chargers game. Here's Gase on how Mike Pouncey played.
He played really well. It's really amazing, the fact that he doesn't practice very much, and he goes out there and grades out the way he does, and he really, it's hard to put in words when you watch him play. It's just, he just knows the right angles. He has an unbelievable feel for the game. The way he gets the guys covered up on the second level, it doesn't matter where their location is, he seems to get it done. And, you know, it was great having him back out there. Just seeing him play, the attitude he has, how excited he was to get back on the field. You know, a lot of people doubted him. And just him stepping on the field was, you know, that was goal number one for him. Now it's, you know, we talked about it before, nothing less than 16+. So, you know, he's got that mindset. And, you know, I think he's looking for people to doubt him.
Hey, Biff, can you skip me ahead to number 10? Because I wanted to get here to Gase talking about Jay Cutler. Now, Cutler, 230 yards last week passing. Touchdown pass, the 29-yarder to Kenny Stills. Couple of excellent throws to Devontae Parker in that game. No interceptions. The play calling was conservative, though. It was conservative. But I thought Gase said something interesting today on Cutler, who played well in the game, has been thriving in practice. Here is Gase saying that, hey, this system fits Cutler even better than the one he was in Chicago 2 years ago.
Well, I know I said it before. The system that we've kind of come to at this point, it's really fits him better than what we had in Chicago when I was there the first time, because I was coming from an offense that was predominantly drop back, and we didn't have the play actions like we do now. Because we weren't running outside zone. We were running more inside zone, kind of gap scheme type team. So this system really kind of fits him better. And really it's a continuation of what we were already doing. So, I mean, the biggest thing for me is just kind of, you know, knowing when to shut up when I'm talking to him. So, but he does a good job at tuning me out. But he, you know, it's when you're with a guy for a full year, you know, it's a little easier to jump right back into.
That's Adam Gase addressing the media right before practice today. Had some nice things to say about Jay Cutler, very nice things to say about Jay Ajayi, Mike Pouncey, and, you know, not a whole lot to say about Lawrence Timmons, but I respect it and I understand it, right? You want to keep that stuff in-house because we don't know what's at play here. Could be medical privacy laws at play. And just the fact that whatever happened with Timmons, I don't know how the Dolphins benefit from airing his dirty laundry, right? Like if whether he did something wrong, whether he did something foolish or impulsive, or whether he just decided, hey, I've got something going on with my family that's more important than football and chose not to tell anybody about it, whatever it is, I think if you air his dirty laundry, it makes everybody look bad. It makes you look petty. I don't see any upside to that, right? And if we ever do find out what happened with Timmons, I think we're going to find out a lot of second and third-hand information from TMZ, from family sources. You'll never know what you can believe or not believe. But I think the Dolphins are smart to keep it in-house, and that's what Adam Gase did today. So, you know, didn't have a lot to say about Lawrence Timmons except that we're going to continue to evaluate and that, hey, everybody has a chance to be forgiven. Now, he didn't say that specifically in terms of Timmons. He said that generally. But he did say that he implied that Timmons still has a chance to really make this right and that they can work through this. We'll hear from Jay Cutler when we come back. We'll take some calls as well. Also, I found this article from Time.com. Top 100 places to live in the United States of America. I'm still looking for Miami, Florida. Like I'm into like the 40s and 50s. No respect for my city. I will tell you, according to DopeyTime.com, the best place in America to live. That and more coming up next year on WQAM.
Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show, Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Got a couple of clickbait stories. This sounds incredibly unpleasant and incredibly painful. This happened in Germany. You know, I think there certainly is etiquette when you're at a gym, when you're at a weight room. And there was a man in Germany who was taken to the hospital last weekend. Let me put this delicately. Was taken to the hospital because he got his manhood stuck in one of those big barbell plates. Ugh. Now, I can't even imagine, and I don't want to imagine, what the situation was where it was out and could get stuck in a weight at the gym. But yeah, that happened. That happened to a German man. They're very kinky over there, apparently.
He was trying to do some curls. You got the curls. You got to help get the lift up.
Oh, man.
Feel the curve.
The women must love this guy. Maybe not so much anymore. Firefighters in the city of Worms posted a picture showing they had to smash the weight, like the weight that he got stuck into. They had to smash it. The 2.5 kilogram weight. What is that, like 6, 7 pounds, 5 pounds? I don't know. We're dumb here in America. Why have we not adopted the metric system, by the way? Why do we cling? Why do we cling to this system where it's all random, like all hell breaks loose, right? 5,280 feet in a mile. What kind of sense does that make? 12 inches in a foot? Like what? The metric system, it's a beautiful thing. Everything is based on 100. Everything is divisible by 100. I don't understand why we can't adopt that in this country. I love this country. I want to make this country better. I actually want to make America great. And I feel like the metric system would be a great step in that direction. Make America great again, friends. I'm going to run for president with that slogan. It might be taken already. All right, so this man in the city of Worms was taken to the hospital. The man was initially taken to the hospital on Friday morning, but doctors were unable to free him from the metal plate. Eventually, he had to be sedated. Oh, as firefighters using angle grinders, a saw, and a hydraulic rescue device broke the weight to finally release his manhood. And then writing on Facebook, the fire service said, "Please do not imitate such actions." Oh, my God. Whoever that man is, I hope he's all right.
Well, just ruined my gym routine for tomorrow.
Seriously. Keep it in your pants, folks. When you're at the gym, keep it in your pants. You'll be much better off for it. And so I see this story from it's from Money Magazine. 100 best places to live in America. I scanned through this son bitch. There's only one city in Florida on here, St. Augustine, which is not going to rip it. St. Augustine, nice place, right? Very old. Flagler Community College or whatever it's called, very beautiful campus.
Flagler College.
It's not Flagler College.
It's not a community college. It's like, it costs more than what I pay for college right now.
Oh, really?
For all
right,
year.
Well, whatever it is.
For that my whole, like, entirety plus paying back my
student loans?
No, yeah, I'm trying to think of other things that are huge.
Oof. Well, okay. It's a Flagler College, beautiful. St. Augustine, they got that fortress there. They got very old cannons that no longer fire, but it's a nice place to visit. If they did fire, though, that'd be trouble. You can go see people like doing like smith work. Like they still, when you go to St. Augustine, they still pretend that it's the 1700s. It's crazy. Like they got this old village in St. Augustine where they have like blacksmiths like melting things and welding. I don't even think welding things. They're like melting things down. They're making horseshoes. It's wild what they got going on there. But the only Florida city that made this list of top 100 places to live is St. Augustine, where they have that disgusting mountain fountain of youth water. Tastes awful. Tastes like sulfur. Don't drink the fountain of youth water. Because you think if you drink it, I'm going to live forever. No, if you drink it, you'll have diarrhea. So don't drink the fountain of youth water. But here are the, I'll give you the top 15, top 100 cities to live in, according to Money Magazine. Number one, Fishers, Indiana. That just sounds terrible. A booming city with good schools, low cost of living, and an entrepreneurial buzz. Okay, I understand low cost of living, because who's ever heard of Fishers, Indiana? Probably get an apartment there for $80 a month. Maybe that's what makes it such a great place to live. Number two, Allen, Texas. Number three, Monterey Park, California. Now, I'm surprised, and it's not to say, like, California is beautiful. Been there many times. A lot of nice things to see there. The weather is fantastic. But I would think that Money Magazine wouldn't be so high, because a bunch of cities in California made the list. I would figure Money Magazine wouldn't be that high on California, because the cost of living there is so high. Real estate, state taxes, city taxes, all that. But Monterey Park, California, number three. Franklin, Tennessee, number four. That sounds awful. Olive Branch, Mississippi is number five. Dickinson, North Dakota, number six. Never been there, but I heard North Dakota is beautiful. Unless it's winter, then it's not so beautiful. Lone Tree, Colorado, number seven. North Arlington, New Jersey, number eight. Schaumburg, Illinois, number nine. Bozeman, Montana, number 10. You remember Big Bang Theory episode when Sheldon Cooper decided he was going to go move to Bozeman, Montana, because he heard that was a great place to live. As soon as he got off the train in Bozeman, somebody stole his suitcase. It was not a good experience for him. New Berlin, Wisconsin, probably better than Old Berlin. That's number 11. Number 12, Beaverton, Oregon. I'll keep the sexual jokes to myself on that one.
Home of Oregon State.
Yeah! Waltham, Massachusetts, number 13. Orem, Utah, number 14. And St. Peter's, Missouri, number 15. I won't bore you with the rest of the list, but needless to say, in the top 100, only one city in Florida made the list, and it was St. Augustine at number 62. No respect for my home state. Maybe when they made this list, because this was just published yesterday, maybe it was fresh in their minds, the fact that like every hurricane has been pointed in the direction of this state for the last 2 weeks. So they thought, oh, maybe that's not such a great place to live because of that.
Or they just read like local crime from Florida. You know, we just have some weird stories that just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure that Fishers, Indiana probably has fewer petty crimes than we have here. Can you imagine like how boring the local news is in Fishers, Indiana? Well, another man helped an old lady cross the street today. Let's go to weather. That's all that's going on there. Oh, the trains were all on time today. Oh, an old man ate a hot dog from a stand today, and he survived. That's the news in Fishers, Indiana. Dateline, 2017. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mitch in New Jersey. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Good. Hope things get better down there. It's crazy what's going on in Florida and Mexico.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Pray for those people in Mexico. That earthquake, it was 7.1 magnitude. I will not lie to you. First of all, I don't know much about earthquakes, but I didn't think the scale even went that high. 7.1. I didn't even think that was possible. Awful, awful stuff there. Pray for everyone down there.
Yeah, they had one like 2 weeks ago. It was just 50 people or something like that. It's terrible. It's kind of strange. I think the game this week for Miami, Jets don't want to win. It's pretty obvious. I don't know what's going to happen if the Jets and the 49ers have the same record, 0-16.
Oh yeah, I listen. If the Jets went 0-16, I'm throwing a party. I'm banging pots and pans. I would love that.
And I hope they pick the wrong quarterback. And one more thing, that guy which decides this guy Timmons, another guy, and he's canned for the whole year, suspended. Cravens from Redskins.
Yeah, Sua Craven.
Pretty mysterious. Maybe players having second thoughts in with football. I just think more players are going to be choosing basketball and baseball.
Oh yeah, no question about it. I mean, listen, if I have a child who I like identify from a very young age is incredibly athletic, incredibly gifted, and I become one of those parents that says, "Hey, I have a child who's gifted enough. I may be able to nurture this child to become a professional athlete." I think I'm probably pushing that kid towards baseball or basketball, right? Like I'm not pushing them towards football, hashtag CTE. I'm not pushing them towards mixed martial arts or boxing as much as I love those sports. I think if I can identify, I've got a child I think could go all the way at a sport and make a ton of money, I'm pushing them towards the sports without head injuries.
Pretty much most of the athletes, at a young age, they're kind of like born with a lot of these skills. And I guess you'll become an agent and you'll leave this job, I assume.
Yeah.
No? Okay, you represent your kid. All right, go for a ride.
I would love that, yeah.
Well, I hope you do have a kid.
I'd be like Macaulay Culkin's parents. Like I would just like take all of his money. I'm joking, by the way.
I know, 20%. All right. Right. Hopefully it comes true.
90%. Let's do that.
All right, take care.
I appreciate it, man. I love how, like, Biff is, like, haggling with me over this. Like, maybe 45%. I don't know.
I mean, you got to make something off your kid. You take care of him for 18 years.
I think what you would hope is, always the hope would be, if you are a good enough father that you don't have to take from your kid, that if you're a good enough parent, once your kid hits the big time and they sign that $20 million contract, that they will take care of you automatically, right? That they will say, you know what, Dad, you were so good to me growing up. You don't need to ask me for anything. I'm buying you a house. I'm buying you that Lamborghini you've always wanted. I'm buying you the swimming pool size jar of Nutella that you've dreamed about since you were a child. Like, I'm going to do all of those nice things for you because you're such an amazing dad. You would hope that that would be the case. You wouldn't have to ask for those things, that they would materialize because your kid loves you. This was a great text that came in, by the way. I mentioned that Fishers, Indiana, a place I've never heard of, never care to visit, was ranked number one city to live in America by Money Magazine. I also told you a story about a German man who got his manhood stuck in a weight disc and had to have it hammered off by the fire department. Texter writes in at 56022. This is masterfully done. Text of the day. I'd rather get my junk stuck in a weight disc than live in Indiana. Perfect. Perfect way to combine both stories and make them amazing.
Just letting you know, though, in Fishers, Indiana, they have a Cracker Barrel.
They do?
Well, no.
How many? We have got a Cracker Barrel. We got Cracker Barrels here in South Florida. Why are we not number one?
Because the place looks like a nice, quiet, quaint town.
It does.
Just outside of Indiana. I mean, Indianapolis.
Breaking news. Fishers, Indiana. Rabid dog put down. Next update at 11. Like, that's the only thing going on there in Fishers.
I think they just do a lot of reporting probably in Indianapolis. I don't think there's anything that goes on.
No, there can't be.
One of the things they had to show was Indianapolis Yacht Club.
They got yachts in Indianapolis?
I guess they keep them on land.
Land yachts. How great would that be? Oh, man. Oh, the Cleveland troll is on hold. I insulted his city. You notice how Cleveland is nowhere near the top 100. If there was a bottom one, that would be Cleveland. Like, if they rank a list, here are the top one worst cities to live in. Or, like, the top three. We'll do it this way. Top three worst cities to live in the world. Number three, Aleppo. Number two, Pyongyang, North Korea. Number one, Cleveland. The Cleveland troll is with us now. Jamba. Hello, Jamba.
Happy birthday, Bird Brain.
Thank you, sir. You're a day late and a dollar short, but how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Listen, I got a couple. I got a little, couple of things I want to say. First of all, to that caller that called earlier talking about LeBron leaving, the reason why he left is because he wanted to get out of this garbage-infested, disgusting sting, go back to the greatest city in the country, Cleveland, Ohio.
I think you have that right. Reverse, but
and
okay.
Even if he leaves next season and goes to play with the L.A. Losers, that's okay because at least he delivered and gave us a championship. So I say thank you. Anyway, getting to what I really want to talk about, forget about the stinking Dolphins because they will stink it up this year. My Cleveland Indians, 18-1 in the month of September, 25 out of 26.
Can you hear that? Hold on. Can you hear that? I just heard 10,000 radios click at once and all change the station because we're talking Indians baseball. Jamba, you have a great rest of your week, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon. We just lost every listener. Cleveland Indians. Nobody cares down here. I'm sure people care in Cleveland. Oh, they're 18-1 in the month of September. I'm 19-0 in the month of September. I don't know in what, but I need to take the focus off the Indians. Who cares down here?
I'm 19-0 waking up.
That's right. I am
actually 20 because it's the 20th.
There you go. See, we're 20-0 in getting out of bed in the morning. I barely made it out of bed yesterday, but I got there. We'll take more calls. We'll wrap it up on the other side. We'll hear from Jay Cutler, quarterback of your Miami Dolphins, next year on WQAM.
Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting. Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Texter writes, anybody that says Bozeman, Montana is a great city to live in needs to check themselves. I don't know. What do you have against Bozeman? Never been there. I'd love to go to Montana. Billings, Bozeman. I can't name any other cities there, but I'd love to see Montana.
Maybe he just doesn't like the Big Bang Theory either. That's the one you brought up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, because Sheldon decided he needed to move to Bozeman because he heard it was the best city to live. As soon as he got off the train in Bozeman, somebody stole his suitcase. It was not a good experience for him. Not good at all. I want to go everywhere, though. It's kind of like, when you start thinking about your own mortality and that, okay, no matter how many great advancements we have in our lifetimes in modern medicine and, you know, maybe we'll find a way to plug our consciousness into robot bodies. I'm not holding my breath for that. I'll probably die like a year before that happens. But we do have a finite amount of years on this earth. Maybe some of us will live till we're 105. Some of us will make it to 85. You got a limited time on this earth. I want to see everything, man. Like, I would love to see Bozeman, and I would love to, like, maybe at least stop for an hour in Fishers, Indiana, see what all the fuss is about, maybe have lunch at their Cracker Barrel. You know, I want to see other parts of Asia that I've not been to, parts of Europe that I've not visited yet. I have been to many parts of Europe, but there's some I still need to see. I want to see everything, man. Antarctica, it's kind of sad to know that, you know, unless you are like such an amazing world traveler and you like have fortunes from your family or you won the lottery and you're traveling somewhere every single day, maybe a few of you will see most places on this earth. The rest of us will probably see maybe 2% of the earth before our time is up. I would love to see everything. I would love to see everything. And even though I do love South Florida, I love my city, spending like 350 some days out of the year here and not being able to see a whole lot of other stuff, It's kind of, I don't know, like depressing is not the right word, but it's a little bit discouraging knowing that, you know, okay, so I probably have somewhere between 55, 60 years left on this planet, and I'm not going to see anywhere near all of it. I wish I could see all of it, damn it. We need to invent teleportation. We need to get on that. Let's talk to Sexual Chocolate. What's up, SC?
Yeah, I want to see everything. If that includes Aussie traffic woman, you know. Hey, Solano, my man, how you doing, man?
Oh, we got Solana's not here. You have no idea what's going on. We got Biff on the other side.
Hey, man, I told you I was Biff over here, man.
No, because I heard Biff calling you Alex, so I was like, oh, that's Solano show, you know, of course.
Oh, well, Solana, he's somewhere listening, man. He's always listening. I love him. He makes up half my audience.
Hey, Donald, man, I had to call you, man, because I was about to get busy with the wife, man, but I heard Cleveland, and I can't function. I couldn't function no more.
No, neither can I.
Look, man, all those towns you talk about, all those towns you were naming, whatever, I was saying to myself, all those towns had a scene, you know, those Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies?
Yes. Yeah, they all had a horror movie. People die there in movies.
Yeah, they did a scene in all of those towns. There's been a scene in those movies, man.
That's right.
Hey, Donald, man, and I just want to give you guys a tip because I want to give somebody else a tip too. But let's talk about I hate betting. I hate gambling betting for my team. But Dolphins minus six on the Jets.
Oh, take it all
easy
day.
Easy money, baby.
Easy That's money.
Easy money, baby. Donnie, you know, I love you and Biff, man. Welcome to the crazy world of the Alex Donald Show, man. Take care.
Thanks, SC. You know, Sexual Chocolate, like he wants to go to all those cities just to rate the women there. Like that's the real that's why he wants to go to Bozeman. He wants to go to Fishers, Indiana, and in Buena Park, California, or whatever. What was the number three? It was Monterey Park, California. He wants to see if there's like tens running around or if there's like fours and fives. Like, you know, he wants to do that. Let me hear some Jay Cutler before we wrap it up here tonight. Here is Jay Cutler, quarterback of your Miami Dolphins, on his comfort in Miami.
Well, really comfortable. I think it goes back to a lot has to do with the personnel. You get those guys around you. Offensive line played well. They make it go. You know, I just kind of feed them the ball and watch them work. So it's fun being behind center with those guys.
Here's Cutler on being daring down the field.
No, I mean, I knew. We didn't want to. We kind of wanted to get things going a little bit. With the last 10 days, things being crazy, I think kind of easing things in there and trying to get the ball at different guys and trying to keep it third and manageable. I think that was the biggest thing, not getting into third and longs, not getting into situations where we were fighting sticks.
So that was Cutler, I guess, reflecting on, people saying that they were conservative last week, not throwing down the field enough. I think you're going to see more of it as the weeks come on. You saw more of it in the second half. I think that the first half was very much Adam Gase with his play calling being overly conservative because he wanted Cutler and the Dolphins to shake off the rust, not having played week one. I think you're going to see more chances being taken downfield. But you know, in all honesty, though, you don't want Cutler to go full Cutler, because when you go full Cutler, you're throwing interceptions pick after pick after pick. You want Adam Gase to be careful with Cutler, but open things up downfield enough where you have the chance to make plays. And here is Cutler on receivers getting one-on-one matchups.
All those guys are kind of like that. I mean, if you want to play us one-on-one, we got a lot of options. We got a lot of ways we can beat you up. San Diego, they did a lot of zone. I mean, they weren't gonna play that game with us. They kind of zoned us out. They try to put eight in the box, but I mean, even eight in the box, Jay's gonna make either the first guy miss or run him over and get his yards. So, it's tough to stop.
That's Jay Cutler today after Miami Dolphins practice. Texter writes in, Dono, you should check out the Nat Geo cruises. It's like a regular cruise, but you're exploring the world too. I'll look into that. I've never heard of that, but I would love to explore more of the world. My cousin, age 60, Texter writes, has been to 104 out of 210 countries in this world. That's pretty damn good. Nearly half. 104 out of 210 countries in this world. When he is asked which one is the most beautiful, he says all of them. I like that. By the way, F you, only being 33 years old. Sorry, Donna, but you're my boy. That's what Sexual Chocolate says. Hey, I got more time left than you, bro. Sorry to say it. I'm going to see more countries than you by the time it's all done. Want to thank Biff on the other side of the glass. He's younger than all of us, doing great work over there. Want to thank the great Frank Zaffrey for being with me for the fight night portion tonight. Of course, want to thank Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter for joining us earlier. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow night, 6 o'clock here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.